This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things are going terribly for Democrats, and that's wonderful. We'll talk about that tonight. Jim Jordan joins us. What's going on at the FBI? Brendan Carr, the big cheese at the FCC, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Democrats are a complete disaster right now. And I'll tell you this, and this will come back to Democrats, so just stay with me. I was actually having a conversation this morning with a friend of mine who does radio, does conservative talk radio. You would know him, but I'm not going to go into who it is. It doesn't matter. But I was having a conversation with him this morning. And we were talking about, you know, the state of the country, how do we think Trump's doing, how's everything going. We talked about a lot. But one of the things we discussed, he's an older guy, is his retirement. And we started talking about it, and he shared my view on it. And that it's so odd and in a way so sad that people, when they achieve some sort of fame, if you want to call this fame, but if some sort of fame or notoriety, it becomes their everything and they can't let it go. And you see these people all over the television, all over the radio, old, done, but they just don't have anything else in life but fame. And they just never retire. They die on the air. It's sad. And I thought about that when I saw the story from the Bidens over the weekend. The word is out now that the Bidens, Joe and Jill, are thinking about making a political comeback. Now, let's be very, very frank about what this is and what it's not. This isn't really the Bidens, as I just said. This is Jill Biden. We got leak after leak after leak of Joe Biden's performance over the 4 years of his presidency. And since he's been gone in the past couple months, those leaks have started to pick up steam about the fact that Joe Biden is not a functional adult and has not been one for years. Joe Biden, and I don't know what it is, dementia, Alzheimer's, just senile, I don't know what it is, but Joe Biden is a shell of what he used to be. He can't think, he can't walk, he can't talk. He doesn't really know where he is half the time. Remember the reports we got where he would meet people he'd known forever and didn't even know their names? He was signing executive orders, didn't know where they were. Joe Biden doesn't want to come back to politics. Joe Biden doesn't remember what he had for breakfast this morning. Who does want to come back to politics? The lady who was leading cabinet meetings.
This is the first time Jill has joined us, and it goes to show how important the issue is, which she's about to speak to the both of us. Today, at the top of our meeting, Jill's going to give an update on the House initiative, White House initiative, to fundamentally change the approach and the fund, and how we approach and fund women's health services. So I'd like to turn it over to Jill and for any comments she has, and it's all yours, kid.
Thank you. You know, sometimes the White House surprises you. When Joe became president, I knew I wanted to keep shining a light on the issues that I'd worked on for so many years.
The first lady leading a cabinet meeting? When he became president, I knew that I had issues and I was going to get those things done. Jill Biden is an evil person. Joe Biden doesn't want to come back to politics. Jill Biden wants to come back to politics. Jill Biden loved being first lady, loved being famous, loved the limelight, loved all the perks that come with fame, the free dinners, the fancy flights. And Jill Biden knows that she needs her cadaver husband to return to politics. And so, even if it kills him, and remember, when you are going through whatever it is Joe Biden is going through, again, I don't know, dementia, Alzheimer's, we don't know, rest is what every single doctor prescribes. Rest and care. A calm, stress-free environment. Rest and care. That's how you prolong the life of somebody going through that. That's how they get more enjoyment out of life. You get super irritable. Anyone who's ever been around this knows what I'm talking about. They get irritable. The stress tears them apart. What Joe Biden needs is the opposite of what Jill Biden wants. And look, this woman, just what a horrific human being. Remember after the debate, that disastrous debate, remember what happened on stage?
Debate stage was Joe Biden, a president with integrity and character, who told the truth, and Donald Trump told lie after lie after lie. Oh, you're good. You're so good.
Isn't that so sad? But back to what we were discussing. She can't just let it go. Think about that. Even if, let's assume they're not close. I don't know what their relationship is. It doesn't matter. But you are now the former first lady. They are rich. On top of that, all the perks that come with being a former president, security, everything else. Jill Biden, I don't know how long she will live. Will live out the rest of her days in luxury, wanting for nothing at all. And she could, if she wanted to, she could easily spend the rest of her days, even if it wasn't with Joe or with Joe, traveling. She could go to Greece this weekend if she would like to. Maybe spend the week out in California, head to the mountains. She could go to sporting events if that's her thing. She could do anything, wealthy, famous, retired, but no. She needs that fame. And if she has to kill her husband to do it, then she will do it. I find it to be so sad. But it is indicative of the disaster that is the Democrat Party today. It's amazing to watch. I can't, look, I'm cheering. I love it. Watching what Chuck Schumer's going through.
Look, I'm not stepping down. And let me just say this, Kristen. I knew when I cast my vote against the government shutdown, there'd be a lot of controversy, and there was. But let me tell you and your audience why I did it, why I felt it was so important. The CR was certainly bad, you know, the continuing resolution, but a shutdown would be 15 or 20 times worse.
He's still on the media every single weekend, giving these interviews, trying to maintain his power because he's catching heat for passing a CR? Democrats pass every CR, and he's right. The political fallout, if they had shut down the government, would have been terrible for Democrats. I hate to defend Chuck Schumer, but it was the only move he could make. He's currently fighting for his life inside the Democrat Party. He's not alone. Bernie freaking Sanders, the admitted socialist, is now catching heat about all this crap.
Alexandra is extraordinary. I am so impressed by her work in Congress and her, just she inspires young people all over the country.
Would you like to see her join in the Senate?
Right now we have, as I said, just a whole lot of people in the Congress. Okay, Jonathan, thanks.
Wait, I got one more. This is important.
Well, I ask you.
Okay.
You know, you want to do nonsense, do nonsense.
No.
I don't want to talk about inside the Beltway stuff. I got 32,000 people.
I was just asking you about AOC because she was out
well,
there with
you. Well, fine, but I don't want to talk about this. What was the last question?
I was just going to ask you one more question about you. I mean, that's all. I was literally your last.
You know? And speaking of the infighting, we talked about this before. Joe Biden actually deserves a lot of the blame for the disaster that is currently the Democrat Party. Because Joe Biden got elected. Remember, they selected him and installed him, but he got elected. Joe Biden gets elected, only he wasn't functional, and he certainly wasn't strong. So the worst communists that fill up the Democrat Party today, they just completely went off the leash. They were unchained, unencumbered by anything, without the president to hold them back from their worst, most demonic impulses. They just went crazy. They freaking flew in as many rapists and murderers into the country as possible on purpose. They just went crazy. They went ape without anyone to hold them back. And part of the reason they did that is, remember, Democrats, the modern Democrat is simply a communist. They call themselves Democrats, but they're all communists. That's what they are. And what communists do is, when they are fighting for the revolution, when they are trying to gain power, oh, they'll do all kinds of things, but they know they're trying to get more support, trying to find a way to convince you. But then the second they gain power, the second they actually achieve that power, now they turn like that and they just start ordering people to do things. I'll force you to do this. I'll force you to do that. You will wear the mask. You will acknowledge that there are multiple genders. You will do, you will. They couldn't help themselves. They turned into these raging communists. They went right from the convincing phase to the forcing phase, because they had complete cultural power. They had the presidency, they had every single institution. Only now, they were rejected by the American people. They're even being run out of so many parts of our culture now. Now, they can't seem to switch back. So you still have the AOCs of the world out there talking like this.
This isn't just about Republicans. We need a Democratic Party that fights harder for us, too. I want you to look at every level of office around and support brawlers who fight, because those are the ones who can actually win against Republicans.
They're just not fighting hard enough, you see. They're just not knocking enough people over the head.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with, you okay with punching. You know, I think, and I love Colin, and I think towards the end he started to punch a little harder. But, like, it's Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him, like, at all. Like, you go clean off on him, right?
Like, we have a Congress full of moronic Marxists. It's wild to watch it. I, for one, am here for all of it. You have this moron, Ellie Misto, on MSNBC. You want to talk about moving right from the convincing phase to the forcing phase? He's talking about just eliminating voter registration. This will end well with swing voters.
We could eliminate all voter registration laws. See, when Democrats get in charge, we try to protect voting rights. We don't make voting easier. We didn't have voter pre-registration in 1787. We didn't have voter pre-registration in 1821. We only started having voter registration, generally speaking, after the Civil War. Why do you think that is? It's because a bunch of freed African slaves were migrating up north, and all of a sudden New York was like, we need some registration up in here, right? A bunch of immigrants from Europe, mainly Ireland and Italy, were coming to New York. People were like, oh, we need some registration in here. If you're eligible to vote, you should be automatically registered to vote, and that is how they do it everywhere else but us. We have to expand voting rights so that the 90 million people that sat on the couch and sat out this last election between democracy and fascism, so that maybe they have a little bit of an easier time to get up off the couch and come participate in the democracy.
Pretty honest about it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Let's check in with Jim Jordan, see what he thinks about the job Kash Patel is doing so far. Before we get to Jim Jordan, let me talk to you about sleeping. You know, between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, I think I got about 35 hours of sleep this weekend. I know I'm old and boring, but that's the life when you have dream powder from Beam, you see. Bed doesn't create any kind of stress. You look forward to it because you know after you sip on that cup of hot chocolate, you're going to go sleep like a little bitty baby. Dream powder doesn't use drugs. It's all natural things, all that stuff you see on the screen right there. And that's why not just where you sleep, when you wake up, you will feel so good, rested. Unlike the other things you take to help you sleep where you wake up and you feel groggy, not dream powder. Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. Get some today. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Just in the last 3 weeks, Trey, the FBI has arrested and brought to justice, thanks to the Department of Justice and Pam Bondi, three top 10 of the FBI's most wanted. Let me just say that again. Not one, not two, but three of the FBI's most wanted top 10 are now in custody because of our relationships with folks like Director Ratcliffe and Secretary Hegseth and Rubio, and the list goes on. But we've also returned to justice in just one short week's time, one of the architects of the Abbeygate explosion that killed 13 of our service members. We did that in 1 week. And just to put that in perspective, those folks have been on the run for 4 years. And in the last 12 months before I got into this seat, Trey, do you know how many top 10 FBI's most wanted were arrested by the FBI? Zero. That's the difference. Yeah. 4 weeks in, we got three, and we're just warming up.
I don't know whether to be happy or upset, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm thrilled about the job Kash Patel is doing so far at the FBI, but if you're moving that quickly on catching all these dirt balls, that means the last administration pretty much knew where they were and just didn't do anything about it. Joining me now, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, somebody who can do something about all this garbage, Jim Jordan. Congressman, so look, all the credit in the world to Kash Patel. I'm happy, but so what, did the Biden administration just have the most wanted guys in a file? They were going to get to it next week or something?
Well, it turns out when you're spending all your time going after pro-life Catholics, calling them extremists, or investigating moms and dads showing up at school board meetings, you don't have time to go get the really bad guys. So God bless Pam Bondi and Director Patel, the entire Justice Department, and the Trump administration for focusing on the things the American people want law enforcement, want our administration to focus on. So I think that's the fundamental difference.
Yeah, I think you're right. Something I've harped on many times, something you and I have discussed many times, is, well, what Christopher Wray and virtually everyone at the FBI did all the time was a little video like this.
The injunction itself is a subject of ongoing litigation, and so I'll decline to comment further. As you know, this is a very active, ongoing investigation, and there are some restrictions on that, but it's an issue of commenting on ongoing criminal investigations, which is something that by longstanding department policy we are restricted in doing. There is an ongoing, very important ongoing special counsel investigation that's now in court. And so not only do I not want to talk about the ongoing investigation, the internal deliberations related to it are even more sensitive. As you know, this is an ongoing case, and internal deliberations about
I'm not asking about the facts of the case.
Obviously, that's stonewalling. Everyone knows what that is. They leave the cases open so they don't have to tell you the truth about anything. Is that going to change?
Yeah. It is. And look, we sent, 3 weeks ago, we sent 7 subpoenas to Director Patel, and we got responses right away. I mean, they've turned over information. They're working with us on other information that's part of those subpoenas, that's covered by those subpoenas that they're getting to us. Again, night and day, working with Pam Bondi, with Todd Blanche, the Deputy Attorney General, with Kash Patel, the Director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, night and day, trying to get the information, answer the questions the American people have about some of these issues. Like here, 26 confidential human sources were at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. I'd like to know about these. 17 of those 26 went in restricted space, which they were not authorized to do. 4 actually went in the Capitol. 2 of the 4 who went in the Capitol were asked to be there by the FBI. I want to know, like, when did they go in the Capitol? Why weren't any of these people charged? Did they go in via a door? Did they go in through a broken window? I want to know how much they were getting paid. How long had they been getting paid? All kinds of questions we want to get to that we know we'll get help from this administration, which, again, night and day compared to this administration and the Garland and Biden administration.
Yeah, the information, the truth is going to be so ugly. Honestly, I'm worried about even finding out about it. I know you've been all over it. You've already brought it up. Going after Catholics, infiltrating the Catholic Church, going after school board parents. Are you getting more documents? Are we going to know more? Are we going to see more behind the curtain on just how evil this past version of the FBI was?
Yeah, we want to know about those issues. We want to know about who planted the pipe bombs. I always you sort of say it, you know, kind of joking, but it's the truth. You know, they were spending all their time doing those things, but they can't tell us who planted the pipe bombs. They can't tell us who leaked the Dobbs, opinion, and they can't tell us who put cocaine at the White House. So we kind of like to know answers to those. I think the American taxpayer, the American people, would like to have answers to some of those questions. So, we plan on getting all that, not to mention Iran hacking the Trump campaign? Remember what happened last fall, that Iran hacked the Trump campaign, that information wound up in the Harris campaign. Well, if that had been reversed, that would have been the biggest story in the world. But oh, no, it's no big deal when it goes the way it did. So we want to know some information about that as well. So all those things, we sent subpoenas to Director Patel. He is giving us that information, and we will make that available. If we learn anything new, we'll make that available, of course, to the American people.
Not to get sidetracked, because I want to ask you about these judges and things like that, but Iran, I mean, they famously not even very shy about the fact they were trying to, and probably still are, assassinate Donald Trump before he took the office again, hacking the campaign. This is a bad state actor. How much ugliness is this country up to in regards to us?
Well, again, we'd like to know all that, but you're right. Not only did they hack his campaign and it was basically a non-story, but this is the same country who said they were trying to kill President Trump. So we think that just underscores why this information is important. They're a bad actor. I was just in Israel last month. Everyone knows what Iran's trying to do. Israel has set them back. God bless them for doing so. When the Israeli Air Force took out so much of Iran's air defense systems, when Iran had sent those missiles over to Israel. So Israel set them back, but the president and, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu have talked about not ever letting Iran get nuclear capability, which is what they're pursuing, but we can't let that happen.
Okay, the judges, they're on everybody's mind. Everybody wants them, you know, impeached, arrested. It just depends on which person you talk to. But nobody you talk to wants unelected judges to govern the United States of America and assume the power of the presidency. Me personally, I don't believe the votes are ever going to be there for impeachment, but that doesn't mean it's a waste of time. What do you do with all this?
Well, you have hearings, you get the facts, you hear from experts, and you pass legislation when you can. Now, two and a half weeks ago, we passed a bill that we think deals with this injunction issue. It's sponsored by Chairman Issa. We put it through our committee, but the bill says that these judges, federal judge in Timbuktu, California, puts an injunction. It should only apply, the bill says, only apply to the parties of the case within that respective jurisdiction, shouldn't have nationwide implications. So we think that's good, smart legislative fix. A number of scholars agree with us on that. So we've already passed that. The speaker's indicating he wants that bill to come to the floor next week, and we move it through the process, hopefully get it all the way to President Trump's desk. I'm confident President Trump would sign that legislation. And then you have hearings on everything else, including this Judge Boasberg. To me, seems like he's operating in an almost purely political fashion going after President Trump. Think how dumb his decision was. Turn the plane around, Jesse. Bring the bad guys back to America. Bad guys who were here illegally, who did terrible things, who are hardened criminals, who are members of a gang, the Trinity Agua gang. Like, turn it around. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And President Trump was clearly functioning in a constitutional fashion. Article 2, Section 1, Sentence 1 says executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States. And then the statute, the Alien Enemies Act, says if there's a predatory incursion, what else can you say this gang is? It's certainly, they're not coming here for good reasons. They're coming here for bad predatory reasons. So I think he was strong constitutional ground, strong statutory ground, and the judge's decision is stupid. And you couple that stupid decision with all the history of this judge and the FISA court during the Trump-Russia hoax, I think it looks like this judge is political. So we're going to have some hearings about this issue starting next Tuesday.
Congressman, you were a great wrestler. You were at the Wrestling National Championship game with President Trump. What was it like sitting there watch a disgusting junior college like Penn State win its fourth national championship in a row?
That is... I mean, Penn State's amazing. Coach Sanderson and his staff and their that program has been true. It was like Iowa back in the old days when I wrestled. They're just dominating right now. But it was a great night. The crowd loved President Trump. He got this huge ovation when he came in. But the highlight, of course, was a heavyweight match where the young man from Oklahoma State, who had went to the Air Force Academy, knocks off the toughest guy on the planet. I mean, Gable Stevenson, the guy who got beat by Wyatt Hendrickson, Olympic champ, national champ, everything. And for Wyatt Hendrickson to beat him was truly an amazing... I told the president, that doesn't happen if you're not there. Because this young man knew that it was the commander-in-chief who was going to be there, his boss, as he said, and I think he wrestled a match of his life. and did something that if he wrestled Gable Stevenson 10 more times, he wouldn't win any of them, but he won Saturday night, and it was a special, special moment that he got to share with his commander-in-chief, with President Trump.
And it was. It was freaking cool. His adrenaline had to be through the roof. Congressman,
yeah,
as always, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Speaking of sports, I don't do a lot of sports talk, but we're going to talk a little bit about it, not games and March Madness and things like that. We're going to talk about the United States of America, our culture. Why are young men running away from the Democrat Party? All this is going to tie in. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, I want to talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. We talk about it all the time. When you go out and you buy something, this Sunday, we went to church. After church, we wanted to go to buy some certain things. My wife needed soap. I wanted cookies, you know, basic things like that. Do you take the extra time, look up something on your phone and see, does this company share my values? Verizon does not share your values. AT&T, T-Mobile, they do not share your values. PureTalk not only shares them, they promote them. And you'll save money. Switch to PureTalk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right. Let's talk for a minute about sports. And no, don't worry. This is not going to become a sports show. We're not doing this. But it has to do with our culture. And I need to explain here. You see, sports actually is important, even if you're not a sports person. Maybe you don't watch sports, maybe you love sports, but sports are a critical part of every single society. Did you know that? Did you know, what's a good example? Custer's Last Stand. You know about Custer's Last Stand? Of course, everyone knows about Custer's Last Stand. You know one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that battle went so badly for George Custer was the American troops, they were many of them on horseback, and they began to engage with the different Indian tribes, the different warriors who were also on horseback. And the American troops, when they got close, would lose. They would frequently be pulled off of their horses where they were shot and stabbed and killed. Why? How were these Indians so good at this? Well, one of the sports that was played amongst the Indian tribes was a game on horses where they routinely tried to pull each other off horseback. Sports. It is a central part of every single society in the history of the world, whether it's a tiny tribe or a large country. It helps train you for war, as I just pointed out. It creates societal cohesion. That's a big, big, big part of it. Roman emperors knew this. Roman emperors were well aware of this. In fact, if you were a Roman emperor and you had chariot races, let's say, you would have a team, a favorite team. Did you know they were marked with colors? Red, yellow, green, blue. And you would show up and you'd be wearing green for your green team, and we're taking on the blues today. This isn't something of old. It's how societies come together. We set aside politics and war and finances, and we just look at sports and we just cheer something on. Pull him off horseback, race that chariot, make that basket, hit that homer. And if the Democrat Party is curious why young men are fleeing them today, it's because they're communists. And when communists take over anything, it doesn't matter what it is, they will bring their sick, demonic religion with them. They cannot help it. As I've explained many times before, communists are not political, they are religious. They are devoutly religious, religious zealots. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you get into any situation and set Jesus aside on purpose? Hey, Lord and Savior, need you to sit this one out. No, you don't. You bring him with you everywhere, don't you? The communist brings his religion too. So when the communist takes over your Cub Scouts, sooner or later your son's going to come home with a rainbow patch on. When the communist gets involved in journalism, sports journalism, they're going to bring it with them. And I want you to know, before I play you a couple clips here of this Mina Kimes chick on ESPN, I want you to know that I played sports very poorly, but I played sports my entire life, basketball, baseball. That was just what we all did. Whether you were good or bad, you went out, you played sports. And that all the time, my friends and I, when we were done, we would go over to my buddy's house or my house. And as we're sitting there, mom's bringing you sandwiches. You're sitting there, you're sweaty, you're hitting, hanging out. What did we do? We turned on ESPN. And we used to just watch witty commentary. Mostly dudes, but not all dudes. You had your wonderful Linda Cohns at the time. But you had, gosh, there were so many. Dan Patrick, Kenny Mayne. There were just more than I could ever lay out. Scott Van Pelt. And they would just bring you dude stuff. Bombs, tackles, just sports. There was not a political bone in any of it. We sat there enjoying it. That was an escape, a sports escape for young men across the country. Now you turn on ESPN, and this is what you get.
So ESPN and others reported today that the Department of Defense, amidst an ongoing effort to purge government mentions of diversity, equity, inclusion, removed a website honoring Jackie Robinson's military service. It has since been restored, and their spokesperson, the Pentagon press secretary, said this. We do not view or highlight people such as Robinson through the prism of immutable characteristics such as race, amongst other things. So, look, Jackie Robinson was known for many things, but above all, first and foremost, it was his ongoing courage in the face of racial discrimination. In fact, in addition to crossing the color barrier in baseball, he served in a segregated unit in the Army and in one instance refused to move to the back of the bus, was arrested and acquitted. That matters. That history cannot be erased, it cannot be undone, and it must be recognized to fully understand and celebrate his legacy.
Thanks, Mina.
You can't even turn on ESPN now with some nag henpecking you about this or that. And notice as she opined about Jackie Robinson's legacy, notice how it wasn't actually about discrimination either. It wasn't about sports. It was, of course, a political pot shot at the Trump administration. Because you can't have anything anymore. The second you allow one of these filthy communists into your organization, whatever your organization is, you could make little round bouncy balls. You could be ESPN. You could be Disney. You could be anything. The second you allow one of these cancers into your organization, it will metastasize. Cannot believe I nailed that word the first time. And it will kill your organization eventually. Can you, just young men, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. That I want you to have the America that I grew up in. Instead, this is what you have to get on ESPN.
Who are we to criticize China's human rights records when we have ongoing attacks by the agents of the state against unarmed citizens, and we've got assaults on the voting rights of our people of color in various states in this country?
LGBTQIA plus teammates at Disney asked for our solidarity and support, including our company's support, in opposition to the parental rights in education bill in the state of Florida and similar legislature across the United States.
And a threat to any human rights is a threat to all human rights. And at this time, Courtney and I, we're going to take a pause from our broadcast to show our love and support for our friends, our families, and our colleagues.
Legislation happening in Florida and across other states as well that are targeting our LGBTQI plus communities. Many of our colleagues here at ESPN have planned and organized a walkout. But we understand the gravity of this legislation and also how it is affecting so many families across this country. And because of that, our allyship is going to take a front seat. And with that, we're going to pause in solidarity.
I'm sorry, fellas. It wasn't always this way. And maybe if we continue to put our money where our morals are, maybe one day we can get back to being a country where a young 16-year-old can get home from football practice, turn on ESPN, and just see some big hits, some great touchdowns, baseball players hitting bombs without being henpecked to death. All right. Let's talk to the FCC chairman next. Well, YouTube, Facebook, these big social media companies, obviously you know what they are. Everybody is on there. I'm on there. Go ahead and subscribe to the Jesse Kelly YouTube page, by the way. But they censor. That's what these companies do. That's what they've been doing. They've been coordinating with the government, completely illegal, to censor voices they don't like, which, of course, we all know what that means. Voices like yours, like mine. So by the grace of God, we have a whole new sheriff in town. Brendan Carr joins us. He is the big cheese, the chairman of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. Okay, Brendan, I don't even know if I want to ask how much ugliness you've uncovered since you took over the new position.
Well, there's a tremendous amount, and it's so good to be with you, Jesse. I mean, look, like you know, like your listeners and viewers know, Americans have lived through an unprecedented surge in censorship over the last couple of years. It really accelerated with COVID-19 in particular, right? Once you have this increase in government control, which is what COVID was, you necessarily have a decrease in free speech. And so we're working at the FCC to restore free speech. During the Biden years in particular, there was a tremendous amount of collusion between the government and the private sector to shut Americans down simply for expressing political viewpoints that were unorthodox or at odds with the Biden administration.
Brendan, does it shake you at all? You mentioned COVID, that's when we all really saw it. How many willing participants there were in this? I mean, it's one thing for the White House to send a letter to Facebook to say censor out any of these unvaxxers, but it's another thing entirely for virtually every platform to say, okay, we're all over that, we will do it. Why?
Yeah, it's concerning how much these social media platforms cave, particularly back in the day, Facebook. And look, the government put some leverage on them. On the one hand, you know, Section 230 is this prize liability shield that they had, and the government, the Biden administration, was effectively using that as a sort of Damocles to get them to engage in censorship. But you're right, I don't think any of these companies should have caved quite so easily. Now, Facebook has come forward, Zuckerberg, and said, you know, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, and said he's going to do the right thing now. And I think we're in a trust but verify stage. It's great that he's doing it. It was always nice. You had people like Elon Musk and X who stood in the breach and stood for free speech when no one else did. And again, I'm glad to have, you know, Facebook coming back. Google, I still think, has an awful lot of work to do to match where those other companies are. And then globally, whether it's Brazil with this out-of-control Justice de Moraes over there, who's censoring, you know, X and to some extent Facebook as well, to Europe, they have this new regulation, the Digital Services Act, which is effectively a censorship regime. And so it's still very much a live battle to return to free speech. We've made some good progress in the U.S. President Trump has come out swinging, and that's been very important for free speech. But globally, it's still a very live debate. If we're going to have free speech, we're going to have censorship.
Brendan, I understand you're a man, you're not a god, so you can't fix all the problems in the world. But is there anything you can do with your current position to ensure this doesn't happen again? Because you'll have to forgive me if I don't look at the current rhetoric of modern-day Democrats and think to myself, these people would do all the same things again in a heartbeat, if not do much worse if they ever achieve power again. And I don't want that for my country.
Yeah, look, we saw a tremendous amount of weaponization during the Biden years. So, for instance, Democrats in Congress wrote letters to cable companies suggesting or asking them to drop Fox News and Newsmax from their cable channels. We had a Democrat prosecutor in Baltimore ask us to revoke the license of a TV station simply because they were investigating what turned out to be illegal conduct, potentially by that Jeez. Particular prosecutor. So we saw all this weaponization. Now, there's another side of the coin as well, which is if you were sort of aligned with President Biden, you got very favorable treatment from the FCC. For instance, George Soros-backed group, they made a move to buy 200-plus radio stations, and the FCC, in an unprecedented action before the election, streamlined that acquisition in violation of our very own commission-level precedents. Now, what do we do about it? One thing that I think the FCC should do is we should take up Section 230 reform ourselves, but do so in a way that leaves incentives for people to allow other people to speak and decreases the incentives for people to censor. There's a very nuanced way that you do that. It involves this particular statutory provision, 230C2, which is where I think the FCC should step in. But at the end of the day, what we want is to empower the actual participants in the digital town square to make their own decisions. I mean, look, this isn't like that Sandra Bullock movie, is it Bird Box, where your eyes are forced to be open to someone's speech. If you don't want to see something, great. You know, don't follow that person, mute that person, block certain keywords. But we want the power back to the participants in the town square, not the companies themselves.
Brendan, from what I understand, you are on a massive delete, delete, delete campaign that you are deregulating things. And that, of course, is music to my small government ears. Explain what's going on.
Yeah, we're doing a comprehensive top-to-bottom review of every single rule and regulation at the FCC. We've titled the proceeding In Re Delete, Delete, Delete to get people a sense of what we're trying to do here. So we're doing that soup to nuts. We've stood up our own Doge group inside the FCC. We're working in conjunction with the Doge group itself. I don't know if Big Balls himself is involved or not on the official Doge side, but we are going to deliver significant regulatory reform. You know, we got this CFR, this Code of Federal Regulations, and it's probably, I don't know, 12 inches thick at this point. And I really want to sort of whack that down by multiple inches at this point.
The FCC, you wouldn't think, at least the normal person wouldn't think, that you could help at all with this swatting that's been going on. We've been covering it extensively on the show, which is essentially the attempted murder of people on the right by the dirty communists in this country. What can you do about it?
Yeah, this is really concerning, particularly a lot of the conservatives, a lot of the new media conservatives have been seeing this surge in swatting incidents recently. There's a lot that can be done. We've actually been in touch with HHS, with DOJ, FBI, with law enforcement agencies, and are letting them be aware that there is an organization, a group, a mechanism that we have that can trace back phone calls that are coming in. And so if you get a swatting incident to a local police department, they can provide us the telephone number or this group the telephone number, and we can trace back to the originating network of the call, and that can help make sure that we track this down. And so everyone should know if they're engaged in this conduct, we do have the tools to find out where these calls are coming from. We are going to be following up on any request that comes in, and people are going to get caught, and they rightly should be held accountable for this type of effectively sort of, you know, political terrorism that we're seeing.
China is an easy boogeyman. I'm certainly no fan myself, and they are a bad actor. But how much of the internet censorship, internet propaganda, internet involvement in elections, how much of it do you see coming from China?
China is engaged in a lot of censorship out there. If you just step back, you know, one of the most significant developments to come is AI, artificial intelligence. The Trump administration has been clear that the U.S. is going to lead the world on this. We're going to have the gold standard AI. Well, there's a fork in the road. There's another version of AI that's out there, and it's the one that's being developed by China. And you look at DeepSeek, their version of AI, and you ask it what happened at Tiananmen Square, they'll say nothing. It was a great day. You ask them, you know, how are the Uyghurs doing? They say they're perfectly fine. They're being taken care of. They're getting a nice new education. And so there's a real fork in the road for the globe. If AI is dominated by China and their version of it, it'll be ideologically biased. It'll be deep on censorship. And that's why Vice President Vance was so clear when he went to Europe and said, the U.S. is going to lead. It's going to be the gold standard. We don't need to go it alone. We're happy to have Europe and other parts of the globe follow us and enjoy the benefits of this world-leading AI, because your other alternative is to go with the approach that China's taking. And that is not going to be, you know, a very good picture going forward, just with the censorship that's embedded there.
I cannot possibly let you go without asking you about this video of you in an 1,800-foot tower.
All right, made it to the top with Hassan and his crew. They're swapping out the lighting system up here. Wonderful day with them. America's tower crews get the toughest jobs done. Super grateful for their work.
Brendan, I have all the respect in the world for you personally and professionally. What's wrong with you? I can't even look at the video. How did you even get up there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So look, you know, most people, they turn their smartphone on, they turn their TV on. If they think about it at all, they think it's, you know, magic or pixie dust, but it's these, you know, hardworking men and women. I think I saw news reports over the weekend referring to the people that support Trump as brutal or savage Americans. I can tell you it takes an awful lot of brutal, savage Americans to build this type of infrastructure. And I've always tried to just highlight their work and their efforts, because at the end of the day, you know, we need more workers in this space. We need to, you know, stand up the dignity of what they're getting done. And any time I get to spend a day hanging with the tower crew, it's a lot of fun. I actually don't like heights, to tell you the truth, but you kind of got to compartmentalize that and focus on just what's right in front of you, and don't let the intrusive thoughts win out. But I love getting up there with those crews. I've done about four of those big towers around 2,000 feet. It's always a lot of fun.
Oh, you're outside of your mind. But I love the work you're doing, Brendan. Please come back anytime. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And what we're about to do for lighten the mood may sound unimportant, and frankly, it kind of is, but at the same time, it isn't. We're going to talk about culture. I know that there have been moments, certainly in the past few years, where you have felt like a stranger in a strange land when it comes to your culture. When you've walked into Target and you've seen chest binders for little girls, you turn on an NFL game and you can't get through a commercial break without seeing 19 gay couples. I know that there's been a cultural shock for you, as there has been for me in this country, mortified at how your country's just turned into Sodom and Gomorrah overnight. And we were all mortified. And then we wanted something done about it. And so you and I have had this talk many times before about putting your money where your morals are. It's really, really important. That old pathetic way of thinking on the right, we don't do boycotts, we're better than that. That had to die. That way of thinking had to die. No, your money should follow your morality. You shouldn't have Disney Plus. I'm sorry, you shouldn't. It's an evil, disgusting company. You shouldn't take your kids to Disney World, Disneyland. And I say that as the biggest hypocrite in the world. I took my kids to Disney World 10 years ago. It was before it got really bad, but still, I've done it, right? You shouldn't. And the American people are waking up to that and realizing that. The new Snow White is out. You know, some new movie, of course, because they act like they don't have any more ideas. They decided to remake the classic Snow White story. And of course, they hired some committed communist, Rachel Zegler, to be the Snow White in this new one. And she, of course, couldn't stop running her mouth. And Gal Gadot did the same thing. I don't know why she gets a free pass on this. Gal Gadot was out there running her hot mouth the whole time, too. She's not going to be saved by the prince. You go, girl. New story. Woohoo! And you heard all that, and you didn't go. Disney is going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars on yet another piece of communist trash. And I know it's light. It's not important. It's a movie. But at the same time, it is important. It's important that corporate America, including Hollywood, knows that they can stop spitting in your face now, because we won't support them when they do. Good for you. I'm proud of us. Pat yourself on the back. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.